from the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas. This is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Ed Plummis, along with Jeff Ward, Kenny Romar in the house. Hey, Kenny, how you doing there, buddy? Kenny preparing for his award-winning show on KLBJ, Saturday and Sunday nights. Welcome aboard. It's a TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. Friday, Luya edition of the show here on 102.7 ESPN. This time next week, we'll be at Christmas Eve, the eve of college football next week. Not Christmas Eve, per se. You had a little funny look in your... Yeah. What have you done to your hair? I don't mean to start the show talking about your hair, but what the hell did you do to your hair?
I don't know. What is it doing right
have
now?
Have you been wearing a hat all day?
Yeah, I had my big hat on.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Well, good.
Because it's 110 freaking degrees out there.
Can you believe how hot
boiling.
It is? It's going to get hotter tomorrow, too. 106 is going to be the high tomorrow.
I ran earlier.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't think it was all that bad at 9 a.m.
Well, I played golf at 9 a.m. the other day. It wasn't that bad. But good Lord, Sonny boy.
That's you wanted to start today was making fun of my hair?
No, I commented because it's striking. It's I thought, oh, now he kind of brushed it aside.
I'm sorry. It's sticking up.
Kind of did the Trump brush over there.
Yeah.
Great Donald Trump. Yeah. Good. Welcome back. I've come to the conclusion, and I watched both those NFL games last night. Boring, but stupid. You know, I flipped off the Texan game late with the Fernando Mendozas, and the Texans are up like there's a minute and five to play, and the Raiders are scrimmaging with an unknown quarterback at their own two, and they won the game. They won the game.
It's, but that... Their third quarterback?
I guess it was the third one.
He's not all that bad.
Really?
He's so good that I can't remember his name right now.
I can't remember his name either.
Aiden. I thought it was Aiden something, but yeah. Look, I know Fernando Mendoza didn't play very well. I don't care. He should play.
Well, Clint Kubiak said today that he's, you know, Cousins. Just it's his gig to lose.
What are you, Bull?
That's what he said. He's the head coach.
What's the point in that?
He said competition will continue, blah, blah, blah.
I see. Yeah. And what's the point in that?
Well, maybe he's just trying not to burst any bubble with Kirk Cousins.
Okay. What does that matter either?
Doesn't.
Right. So I don't understand the point. I mean, it's his job to lose. Really? You're going to go tell that to the owner? So when they're... Two and seven.
Owner doesn't care. He's out there nailing the dancers.
When they're 2-7, I don't care if they're 3-3. What's the point in Kirk Cousins playing?
I guess, and I think Fernando Mendoza would be just fine now.
I do too. You want to bet on whether where Kirk Cousins leads the Raiders to a more than 8 wins next year? Would you like to bet on that?
No, I think that's specious. That's outrageous. No, that's not going to happen.
Then there's no point in him playing.
You don't want to shell shock the young Cuban quarterback.
You got a pick six last night.
I
got to say this for him. I wouldn't recommend this again. He tried to chase the guy down.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And hit on his shoulder.
Young man. Let him go.
Yeah, especially
you don't get paid to tackle anybody.
Yeah.
You do not get paid because you go running around out there and some defensive player says, look what I've got.
And did you watch see him hit him on his shoulder too?
Yeah. You're lucky, Fernando, that you're not playing Purdue. You run around in the NFL chasing people down, they will deposit you in the short section of NRG or whatever it's called now.
Reliant.
No coach sits in a meeting on Monday evening and says, Fernando, go make that tackle, or whatever quarterback, go make that tackle. Damage done, save yourself.
Yeah. I think it's not the old quarterback. You can throw people out there immediately. And I don't know. That's just maybe Mark Davis is thinking that. Maybe Brady's behind that too. I don't know who's really pulling the strings there. Can't remember the general manager's name. So... But he got that pick six early, was his third pass. And then the second game, geez, what a blowout by San Francisco.
And
we should read nothing into that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Now, it's, I mean, I don't even know if they're mildly entertaining. I mean, really, well, I only watched Fernando Mendoza play for a little bit, and you got to see how good the Houston backups are, and they're good. So,
and we know the Houston starting lineup defense is really, really good. Davis Mills, the guy that many people want to be quarterback, but who could be the quarterback?
The you can play the Adam Schefter. Kyle, did you agree with my bullet point responses to what will be a flood of former NFL players into the college game? They will flood the market.
Yeah,
I mean, flood the market pretty soon.
Yeah.
And they are going to take the jobs of current players instantly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. I think that happens. Lincoln Riley, I don't even know that I want to say this, but I will. He at least admitted, yep, there's a market. Other people will try to pretend they're not going to go chase these guys down, but they're going to go chase down these pro players.
Jeff, if they need a player, damn right they will. At the end of August,
they're going to chase them down.
Yeah.
And they're already probably trying to, and I think it's created some leverage for the players in camp. Because
how so?
Well, what I would do if I were, if I left, let's say you left Texas or you left LSU.
Oh, players in an NFL camp.
Yeah, yeah, you're in an NFL camp. You've made it through two preseason games. Well, yeah, we've already made it through. Tuesday will be your next payday, next cut day. Get cut at 6:30 in the morning. And so you survive that. You don't get the knock on your door. And you think, all right, I'm going to keep riding this because if I make the club, I'm going to make minimum 700. And I can go back to the college game whenever I want. I mean, wait till the end of August.
Yeah.
And so
let me ask you a question.
You can drive up leverage. You've already got, if you think, you know, you're already getting a check every Tuesday. Okay, it's not big, but while you're doing that, you can have somebody generating leverage saying, hey, Texas, hey, Notre Dame, hey, A&M, you need a great left guard? I'm talking to my man who's right now in the Falcons camp.
Mm-hmm.
We think he's going to make the team, so maybe you could make the offer attractive enough for him to walk away.
Let me ask you, you said they'll be through two preseason games after this weekend. When is it too late? Because on all the people, they're on the free agent. Their agents are working to see if they can be picked up by other team. Is it more economic feasible and more likely that they would play football if they went to a college team willing to play them
$1-3 million? But what I'm saying is your real agent, the real ones, not the street agents, you're telling your real agent who's constantly trying to find, if he gets cut here, I can call so-and-so and see if we can get you on there. But I mean, it happened to me. I got cut in the third game and got picked up for more money by someone else because they thought I had a good camp. So the teams know who's out there. But if you're a player in camp who's one of these thousand that could be eligible to go back or whatever the number is going to be, you might as well ride it as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still generating more leverage for yourself. This is a better player than what college teams have. A dude who's in his third, making the cut down to 55 or no, I guess it'll be 70, is better than all your players on your college team.
Yeah.
So you're going to want him. The day he says, you know what? What do you guys have for me? I'll come play there.
The situation Texas with Trevor out, the tackle with the bruised knee. Yep. You got Ohio State lurking. And somebody's out there, a big tackle.
A pro.
A
right.
Pro who's got eligibility left.
Right.
And, oh, God, yeah, I think that call would be made. Yeah. We need you. We'll pay you this amount of money, and negotiations will begin.
Yeah.
And Kabumski right there.
That player in camp is driving up his leverage.
Yes.
Morning, and apparently there's a judge in Colorado that's going to issue a further ruling today, and I think there's a lot that's up in the air. What I do know from the NFL standpoint is that on Sunday, August 30th, that is the final NFL cutdown day, there are 32 NFL teams that essentially will be releasing 37 players each. That's 1,184 players. I don't know how many of those 1,184 players have used up all 5 years of their college eligibility, but I would venture to say probably not a lot. So you're talking about the prospect of multiple players who don't make it on the NFL rosters, then having the option, potentially, of going back to play in college football. And then there'll be cases where even a player who has the chance to join a NFL practice squad or even an active roster at the veteran minimum might opt to go back to college football. So college football programs now, as Pete Thamel alluded to, are actually looking at NFL teams and studying preseason tape to figure out how they might round out their roster. And if they're bringing in NFL players on September 1st, then that means they're cutting some players from their college programs. And we are living in an unprecedented Wild West world where it's gotten crazier and crazier. And this may be the single craziest moment that we've seen yet. Pete Thamel.
So I guess culture doesn't matter.
I guess culture doesn't matter when you need a big offensive tackle or you need a rush end or something.
I mean, those are big numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys would, if they made a club and got the league minimum, I don't think very many guys would turn down the pro deal to go play in college. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to test it and see how high you can get so-and-so state you to pay. Might as well.
What do you make about the court decision with the Tenth Circuit today? I think that's what he was alluding to, that reverses the federal court's decision that opened the door for all athletes who started college 2022-23 academic year, played four consecutive seasons to return for a fifth season. The 10th court's decision to stay the preliminary injunction issued by a Colorado federal judge permits Division I to return to the status quo before the district court intervened. So,
I mean, they're going to keep going through the court system.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're going to keep doing. And I guess there's a risk. I don't know. Here's the risk. I don't think someone would find out. So if Adam Schefter is right, college programs are sniffing around, finding out who's out there, who might qualify, who might get cut. Now, would a current player find out about that? In other words, if I think I'm the starting left guard at Texas and I find out they're scouting for left guard in training camps, would I care? And the answer is it doesn't matter if you care. Welcome to pro football.
Mm-hmm.
All that matters is someone, the best player plays. Nothing else matters. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So that could be an issue. And coaches could be, college coaches might be somewhat hesitant because if you think you got a guy in a training camp that's going to come back to you, what if a court decision goes the other way?
Right. Well, the court decision went against this deal, the fifth-year guys today. And the question I have, what about the guys like Cole Hudson, who's already back in Austin for his fifth season.
They've already had a ruling in their favor.
Well, but here's this ruling today that granted the NCAA stay. That means qualifying players from the class of 2022 are once again ineligible unless they've already been granted temporary restraining orders. I guess Cole Hudson was already granted that. So, good Lord.
Yeah, there's quite a few that got it. And I thought they were even trying for class action status.
And if you've allowed them, you've got to allow the others.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Is that's the way this thing has worked. I mean, you know they're going to make the same case. Why does that guy get to go do it? Why isn't the same option available to me? I think college programs will jump at the chance to get these guys.
Oh,
they'll
Jeff.
Jump at the chance.
Undoubtedly they will, because
yeah.
If they have a need, they're going to go for it, period.
Because they were already the best players on their college teams. And they've only gotten better because they've been in the NFL for a few months. That guy that left, let's say a good player on a big-time college team who doesn't get drafted. He's in a camp right now, has made it three preseason games in. That's a good player.
Yeah.
You know, there's no stiffs at that point. They're by far better than the college guys. So, of course, they'll take him back. It's the usual dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's just the confusion of college football.
I don't know the answer
to what Schefter is saying, if you go out and you bring some pros back, I don't know why that means you have to cut the guys you have. Collins doesn't have a salary cap.
No. There is a roster cap now.
What is it?
I think it's like 120.
Well, the 85 and there's 125.
120?
Jeez.
I thought it was 85, but okay. Yeah, then I guess some guys.
105.
Okay.
Too damn bad. You know how many players really play or how many really mean anything? About 65 of those.
Right.
That's about it. So.
Well, look at NFL rosters. Only 53 man roster.
Yeah, they play 17 games.
Yeah.
Regular season, 17 games. So I guess he's right that you'll have to purge the back end of your roster. They will and they won't care, except they'll get sued for that too.
they'll give that player
most of those guys
status.
Will be walk-ons and stuff like that.
Give them different status.
And just still pay them? What do you need?
They don't pay walk-ons.
What do you need number 104 for?
Well, that's exactly. It's a walk-on. It's a tackling dummy.
Okay.
Those guys will
get scout teamers.
Yes.
They're not going to care. They're never seeing the field anyway. Yeah. Okay. I don't know that the problem you're going to have is, let's say you just earned a starting job at XYZ and they aren't thrilled with you and they find an NFL guy, some street agent calls up, says, take a look at this. I talked to him today. He said he'd come back.
Tough luck. Sorry.
That dude playing guard for you right now will lose their job instantly. That's right.
I'm sorry.
You're replaced.
Yeah. They're not in there for feelings. They're not in there for rah-rah.
No.
And then the player's going to get pissed off and have to try to, they're like, oh, I could have played somewhere else.
Yeah, no, that's what I do think for these coaches.
Been, yeah, good point, Kyle.
No, I brought that up earlier.
Well, good point, Kyle. Kyle, excellent point. You're on target
for
today.
These coaches spouting culture, they are going to have to answer. The guy says, well, up yours, man. I'm out of here. You told me all these great things, and then dude who was playing for the Chargers on Tuesday showed up on a flight yesterday and took my job. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Sorry. That culture stuff, I didn't really mean that.
It's professional, college,
it really
football.
Is now.
Yeah.
It really is now. And I think fans are going to like it. I mean, I don't know how it plays out, but I think fans would like it. You're going to see better players. If Adam Schefter's right and they flood the market, you're going to see better players. You'll see a slightly degraded version of pro football. Because you can go chase down, probably find five or six guys in camps. What I'm wondering is these college programs that think nothing of tampering, the NFL is going to say, what are you doing here?
Yeah, don't snoop
Why
around.
Why are you talking to a guy who might make my club?
Don't talk
who the
to
hell
him.
Do you
don't
think,
contact yeah, him until
who
the day
you,
he's cut.
You
if
college
cut.
Nerds think you are.
Yeah.
That, I think, is eventually going to be an issue. I don't know if it plays out publicly, but privately, they would say, excuse me, state you, get your ass out of my training camp. Stop calling. We have tampering rules here, but colleges are going to say, we don't.
Because they need that guy as long as they can on their roster.
Because any day, you get to the third preseason game, you're 2.5 deep. One guy gets hurt, you're on the club.
Yeah.
Another guy gets hurt, you're starting. That's how small the margin is once you get into late August in the NFL. And if you're an NFL team and find out A&M in Texas have some dude lurking around your training camp saying, hey, left guard, you're third right now. Why don't you come play for the Aggies?
Yeah. Come on.
We'll give you 500 grand.
Come on, it's 90 miles away.
And the NFL general manager says, have you guys been calling a dude that we're paid on Tuesday? You're really going to play this game? It would be, oof.
Wild. Okay, we need to take a break. We're watching Washington and Texas in the Little League World Series. Let me tell you what, this situation, though, Washington took a one-run lead, 4-3, into the bottom of the last inning. The team from Boerne, Texas, got the bases loaded with nobody out. Grounders threw at home.
They're from Bernie?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Grounders threw the guys out at home, and then a pop-up in center field to end the game. Oh. Bases loaded. Nobody out.
Oh, boy.
And Washington pulls it out.
Okay. So a lot of us have played in even little leagues that went pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really like Bernie, Southside, Little League, All-Star team?
Or does the radius of this
go all the way to South Texas?
No, I think it would be the Bernie area. I would think Bernie All-Stars.
You sure?
I think so, yeah.
They're awfully big and
well,
good.
Well, that's why Tulsa got zapped, because Tulsa recruited somebody outside their area.
Okay.
And that's when they got
so
found
if you
out.
Made, if you make the Northwest Hills or the Western Hills, my team,
mm-hmm.
Little League All-Star team, it's just that?
It's just yours, yeah. Okay.
See, I thought you got to a point where they just sort of broadened it out and said, you know what, maybe South Texas will be good.
maybe that guy from Mission at shortstop.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just all Bernie area players with the Bernie Little League All-Stars.
Okay.
I assume that. I may could be wrong. Hell, New York had that guy was shaving one year.
Yeah. Okay.
Guy from Brooklyn.
Because, man, you take that thing down south, I remember Hondo used to always have great.
Really?
Yep. Oh, my gosh, they could throw curveballs.
Really?
Yep. Played in a tournament in Del Rio every year for years and play all the teams in South Texas because you could see all kinds of curveballs.
And those little chunkers should throw those curveballs.
We would never see left-handed curveballs. Uh-huh. You go to South Texas, and it's like pitcher after pitcher after pitcher throwing curveballs.
Little Jeff confused?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, not at all.
But it was good practice.
Did you hit a home run to your first bat that day, too?
No. My power digressed after Little League.
Did it?
Yeah. It was not a home run hitter after
when
Little
you
League.
Met middle school girls, your power exactly. digressed.
Exactly.
All right, we've got to take a break. No wine today because you're working today, so... I brought no wine to you, my friend.
I will tell you this.
Tell me this.
And don't disclose this.
Okay.
From where I'm parking, I'll bet you there's some in my car.
Really?
Yeah.
Right now, there's some in your car.
Yeah.
It's got to be hot as hell, though.
I've got protections.
Okay, you've got a cooler.
After my next job,
uh-huh.
I thought, you know what? By that time of night, after baking in the heat all day...
Don't drink it in the parking lot.
I'm not. I'll get off the property.
Okay.
I'll make it that far.
Yeah. Did you see?
What I'm saying is I'm not giving you any.
Did you see that guy yesterday on the parking lot? Did you encounter that dude?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm getting in the car, and I hear this. Yeah. I heard somebody go, hey. And I look around. I couldn't see anything. Then I see this guy. I just closed the door. He goes, hey, I'm talking to you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Did you pull out your AR or your throwing stars or whatever you carry in the front of your car?
I nodded at him and drove like a son of a bitch out of the parking lot. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I would have helped you. I didn't know there was crime involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's potential crime. You know, we've been talking about crime on the AM all day.
Of course you have, yeah.
Yeah.
Those people committing crimes?
Those people.
Oh. I don't even want to look at the news now. I on the trail today, the cops were looking around.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Dead body or a perp or
usually it's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
They were making their way down the hill to go to the water. I mean, it's weird. I've seen it so many times. I'm not even going to do the conspiracy about why people keep dying in
Rainy Street over there.
Yeah, I wasn't down there, but it's so weird that I've been running on the trail and we see the same people in the mornings. That we're all kind of, it's weird to say, I'm kind of numb to watching cops walk
really?
By me on the trail.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw cops at an
Austin
area golf
course. If you saw a group
so.
Of cops starting to walk down the trail,
yeah,
you would be really concerned.
In uniform. Yeah.
But I've seen it so many times. And no, I don't think they're not chasing somebody on the trail. They were walking down.
Looking.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's usually not good.
I saw cops at an Austin area golf course. Apparently. Somebody hitting somebody.
Fight started?
Somebody's choking out somebody by
nice.
The green.
Okay.
Don't you hit into me. So it's a long, hot summer,
you know
my
what
friend.
I would love to have happen? Those guys that have the YouTube videos where they honk that giant
oh,
horn
yeah.
in
yeah.
the middle of someone's backswing.
Yeah.
I want them to do that to you.
Well.
And your group. I want them. I love that.
You love that.
I do.
You love.
I kind of like crime. I like small crime.
Well, when I drive by Hancock every day, I'm thinking about that.
You want to do it?
I'm not going to honk the horn because I thought.
But they don't have a horn. These guys, they have YouTube videos. Sometimes the guy dresses up in like a bunny suit and does it. And so the dudes, they honk.
Usually against old men and they try to run for a few steps.
They flip out.
Yeah.
And they try to chase them down. These guys are cracking up. It's a foghorn that sounds like death in the middle of the guy's backswing. And these guys always get pissed and
throw their clubs and take off running after them. And you never catch them.
And these young dudes are cracking up.
Yeah.
it's terribly immature, but it's kind of funny to watch.
I've thought about that at Hancock right there at the number two tee box.
On one of them, there were some old dudes on a putting green. And so the guy snuck up in the trees in a gorilla suit and he had his foghorn and he blows in. Of course, the guy, he misses a putt by 11 feet, turns around and starts chasing him. He could tell it was an old dude. Yeah. So he's laughing at him and he's running around. You're seeing the guy trying to run down a dude in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, who looks like, Bolt running because he's so fast. Okay, break time.
Isn't that great immature comedy?
It's immature comedy.
Isn't that great?
It's finest. Back with more 102.7 ESPN right after this.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. Listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, fifth year eligibility ruling today. A court grants the NCAA stay. Just got a message from a dear friend. It does not affect Cole Hudson, who's already back on the Longhorn team. He had a previous judge's ruling, which screws the whole thing up. I think it's crazy. So other players who are back on the team for their fifth year. See, that's the inconsistency in all this BS. Can you not use that fifth year of eligibility? That's what boils down to. This is such a dang mess. Such a mess.
But you know who could fix it? The programs themselves could say, we're not doing that.
We're not accepting.
But they won't say that because they're the ones that have no morals.
They want to win, Jeff.
Right. Everyone wants to scream NCAA, and you never want to scream at your own program or conference. Mm-hmm. They could easily just say, we've talked to the members, we're not taking pro guys.
Right.
But they won't do that because they're greedy. Because they don't have a moral compass. None.
The thirst to win.
Right. By any means necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, didn't some of these guys get a injunction, I guess it was injunction, not restraining order, injunction here in Travis County. So just go to the Travis County judge.
Sure. Good friendly judge here. Is a Longhorn season ticket holder. Yep. Hook'em Horns, judge.
Does he not grant one if you're going to play for A&M or Oklahoma?
Well, look at what Sorsby when he got that ruling, find a friendly judge.
So
it's a big mess, but I'm with you. I think they're actively combing these rosters and saying, this guy played for us or this guy played for Kansas State.
Yeah.
Think he'd like that fifth year, that graduate year here. He's not going to make the team. He fits the bill. We got some dough. Call a big booster.
Right. It wouldn't hurt to talk to him.
No.
And
I'm sure they're back channeling a bunch of stuff. It's not like them.
If I were an NFL team, I would say, you see, college guys, what we don't do is we honor contracts, and this person works for us right now.
I don't
know what they can do, though. Mm-hmm. Right? What are they going to say? We're coming after you next? Because they might want that guy at this point. You know, it's a guy before you even played your first preseason game, they may not care, but you're down to the final 75. These are guys the league might be in the league.
Sure,
somewhere.
They may get the free agent deal.
And so you start poaching these guys, that kind of matters. You poach the dudes who show up on the first day of training camp, may not matter.
But you start poaching the guys that are in their third preseason game, these are guys close to making a roster. And if they don't make this one, you get bounced to another camp or another team. Why not poach their practice squad?
Yeah.
That's the 59th guy on the roster. I guarantee you he's better than anybody in the college field. Why not poach him?
You think everybody, I think there's probably some players better than he. But they're few.
Not really.
Well, if it's a Colin Simmons type.
Okay, well, there's a top five pick.
For the 2020-26 season, NFL practice squad earned between $13,750 and $22,850 per week.
Per week, yeah. It's Tuesdays.
Yeah.
All right, you get camp money. But the league minimum, what's the league minimum? Close to 700?
Yeah, on the practice squares, if for the entire 18-week season, they'll make almost $250,000, $247,000.
Okay, so that's 885 is the
what
league
is it?
Minimum. 885.
$885.
So that guy, you may not be able to convince him, but a dude that's close to the practice squad, if you're an A&M or a Texas, get those money around like it's candy, you go pay a guy. We'll pay you $230, and they're going to sell them on the idea they can improve their draft position. Come back, you might get drafted next year. Mm-hmm. Is that a bad pitch?
Not a bad pitch at all.
It pissed me off if I was an NFL team and say, where did my practice guy go?
And it would make me mad.
Why
if
is he
I'm
over
that,
there talking to that guy on the street?
Yeah, what's the guy with that long horn on his shirt?
Who right. is? Why are there nine college people over here
the
talking
like
to my
Will Muschamp over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it begs to ask a question. So if your fifth year's fine, is sixth and seventh okay too? I mean,
no, it's just they're talking fifth year.
I know that, but why not the sixth? Or
we'll see.
Like, where do you ever draw the line?
In Rafael Cruz's big, beautiful college football bill, they have 5 years.
Five, period. Yeah.
Yeah, five. When you walk on campus till you walk off, you know, five. I say that when you walk off campus, they've walked off campus.
But that wouldn't change things right now. These guys that would be in their fifth year or in NFL camps, mm-hmm. they could come back under
yeah,
that
bill.
Yeah,
this is only for 2026, 2027.
Right. Right.
Next year, it's completely different. It'll be that hard 18th birthday, 5 years, or from the day you enroll if you're younger.
But what a good Band-Aid for your team this
Absolutely.
Year. Yeah.
You bet.
Could be the catalyst to get you to the national title game.
Yeah. Instead of talking about, you know, what Kurt Cignetti did with James Madison players, the next champ here, we're going to say, and they have 11 guys from NFL camps. Right? They have three guys who almost made the last cut for the Steelers in their offensive line.
Well, you know who's a player in that, I think, in this old ball? It's Texas Tech is, because Cody's got the cash, baby.
Yeah.
Cody's got it.
That's what I'm saying. A guy, if you're a good player in training camp right now and you're on the cusp, you're telling your agent to talk to the street agents or the friends of, and you're driving up your value. You get Tech and Texas bidding on you.
Yeah.
The value is going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Tech needs a quarterback.
Tech needs a quarterback. Have to see who's out there.
Cade Klubnik. Suiting up for Texas Tech.
He's going to make the team. Can you imagine? There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Westlake, Texas.
He was a third-round guy.
Yeah.
Maybe convince him to come to Lubbock and become a first-round guy.
Boy, he would be the tonic that Tech needs. Good Lord.
They'd shoot from 12 to 3.
Raider power, baby.
I know people are going, yeah, but they got to learn that college game. Give me a break. It's not complicated.
Cade's a pro. He's a pro.
Right.
Now. He's a pro. And he's really been a pro a long time with his knowledge and what he prepares for a season.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cade Klubnik, the new quarterback.
Right. Group. I mean, who's a pretty good fourth, fifth rounder that's out there, quarterback? Drew Aller might be the starter for the Steelers, so I'm not going to mention him.
Well, Cade's had a good game last week, so.
It's the Jets.
And they play tonight.
It's the Jets, though. You're calling him up saying, you're talking to his agent, do you really want to play for the Jets? Yeah. Do you know what your future is like?
Cade?
What if you came back, you lit it up for us, you jump back in the first round?
And they'd pay them astronomical.
And then you got a guaranteed contract. You're a multimillionaire instantly. Third round, it's not guaranteed. Hey, come on, man.
Well, you know what the first question to Cade would be from Cody and the boys at Tech?
You ever made a bet on a football game?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, that's probably the first question they ask everybody now.
Gade, you ever made a bet on a football game? Your own team.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
why not?
Oh, exactly.
He doesn't want to play for the – I mean, he's doing what he can to be a pro player.
This would – that make, could be the gift. But again, a question, and I guess I should Google it, or Kyle can or you can. I don't have the answer top of my head. Does that team still have the right? So if you leave, if – I get if they cut you, if they, the Jets cut you.
You have to be officially released, I assume. Contractually released. But I don't know. Let's say, it's an extreme example, but let's say Cade Klubnik, and I'm making this up, says, I want you guys to release me. Now, they do release him. You're asking, does that mean, because I think when next draft rolls around, they no longer hold your rights.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's the way it would work.
What about like practice squad guys? So let's say Cade Klubnik, they were like, hey, we want you to stay and be on the practice squad. We're going to sign you to a practice squad contract.
Right.
Is that
a $250,000
a year? Can you get out of that, or you know, how does that work?
I mean, I guess they can refuse to release you, but I've never heard of that.
You could say, I rebuke thee. I'm going.
I retire.
Yeah.
You can retire. They would still, what Ed's saying is right, though. They would still own your NFL rights. But the big question is, if you left a practice squad and you said, and they said, we're not going to release you. Well, I retire. They can't stop you from that. They would just say, we own your rights for X amount of time. So another team, you couldn't bounce to like another NFL team. What this is, I retire. He goes and plays for Texas Tech. Has an incredible season.
Yeah, draft stock.
And all of a sudden,
boom.
He's now mid-first round.
I mean,
I think another team could then draft him. They own your rights until next draft, I believe. So the reason why they do that is so you don't quit the Jets to go play for the Chargers or something.
In this scenario, though, wouldn't the NFL probably blackball you for doing something like that?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
be like a scab.
If you told somebody you wanted to retire,
the Players Association
did the whole thing all over again. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they would like it. And I tell you this: unlike college football, they will meet and they will figure out a way to fix this. But I don't know if you're like the first round of guys that does it to them, screws them over. I don't think they have any recourse because their concern is, well, the Jets would be pissed.
Because he's there if Geno goes down.
There goes an employee.
Yeah.
A guy who was one of three at one position that's pretty important.
Only if they don't release him. If they put him on the practice squad, I think they still have a little bit of hold.
Yeah,
but
guys,
if they release him, they release him.
Yeah, guys that are cut on Tuesday morning at 6:30, then they can go do what they want. But what I'm saying is if you talked a player into quitting or asking for his release, will that team be pissed? And the answer is yes. What could they do about it? For now, I don't think much. The question is, would they Brendan Sorsby you in the next draft?
And this thing...
Tell you, I've always said greed will eat this sport alive. Mm-hmm. It is on its way because the NFL won't be able to get even with you now, but they are not going to like you snooping around or whatever back channels you're going through. Can you imagine Jerry Jones? Let's who's the guy I played the other day that played pretty well the backup?
Joe Milton played good.
Joe Milton was Cade Klubnik. And you got the Texas Tech dude sniffing around there saying, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, well, Joe's he's at college.
I know. Let's say Joe was a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
He was a rookie.
Yeah.
Joe, $1 million is nothing to us.
Yeah.
$2 million is nothing to us. You'll take this team for. And then next year, you go back in the draft, Joe. You'll be first round. You can go wherever you want. You're not going to be sitting behind Dak Prescott.
Mm-mm. This is sort of like that.
Jerry Jones' head would explode.
This is like Glenn Powell's movie or the series Chad Powers when he comes back
yeah.
as a college quarterback after he blew the knee. It's just like that when he comes back as a different person. But now you don't have to be a different person.
Right.
You can just come back. You can just come back.
Lincoln Riley said he tried to cover his tracks, but he said, yes, that would be attractive to us. Then he came back and said, but we've established a culture, so we'd have to make sure it would fit. In other words, I don't want my guys in my locker room to hear that I just said, I'll cut you in a heartbeat mm-hmm. for someone else. So he tried to come back, but I think he's being honest. Notice how you haven't had one coach come out and say, I'll not do that.
No.
Because why wouldn't you?
No. I don't know. You know, in the culture deal, I don't know what things my friend Sonny Dax did, culture at TCU.
He's so bad, they got to call the police on a guy.
One guy beat the dog out of a wide receiver who's
still
in the
hospital.
That's not our
culture.
Stop
stabbing him.
Hey,
stop stabbing him.
Didn't you play a scavenger game? We don't do that here.
Yeah, it's trivia night. Come on, guys. Stop stabbing each other.
Okay, we got to take a break. After this break, more on this Friday edition here. It's a non-wine Friday.
I got the shakes.
You got the shakes. So,
you know who Muttley is?
No, I don't know. I heard you talking to some people about Muttley and...
Kyle, you know all about Muttley, the cartoon character? Huh. Okay.
Are you still on the Detroit people?
Yeah. I'm a new best friend. No. He's my new best friend. Kyle, play our new best friend, Ryan, from Fox to Detroit. Today, he had a crime story.
On some news now, a suspected vandal facing charges after allegedly leaving Beavis and Butthead graffiti all over Detroit. My goodness. Brian Heron calls himself Beavis, spelled B-V-I-S. I'm so sorry.
It's pretty, actually, it's not bad art.
Police say he left his mark on buildings and fences.
You know, I kind of like
even
it.
Even inside.
I'll buy one of those pieces of art of Beavis.
So, this same guy that was talking about Beaver?
Yeah.
Is he just laughing in the morning? Just getting
apparently,
cut?
Apparently crime cracks him up.
So what I've seen, apparently he's posting like a highlight reel of all the things he's been laughing at because this is like a thing he does. So since his new popularity with the Beaver stuff.
Oh, other people have noticed?
He's posting, because of the Beaver thing,
he's
posting his highlights of him laughing.
His own stuff.
Yeah. He's trying to get famous.
He's trying to get on Kimmel or Fallon.
He's going
to
crack up at murder. This guy shot this other guy. Couldn't believe it. Oh. Right in the temple.
Yeah. Our unemployment in Detroit is now 45%. Not me, suckers.
60% of the city is on government subsidies.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
you're right.
Look, TV business is tough, so you got to make a buck any way you can. My man Ryan laughs at crime. You got to admit, it's kind of funny, though.
That is.
Beavis graffiti, and his name is Beavis?
But he calls himself Beavis. Is his real name Beavis?
Can you imagine he's in prison?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Name? I'm Beavis. I do Beavis art.
Yes. Butthead's back in Detroit.
I'm buying that trash can he painted with Beavis.
All right, back with more 102.7 ESPN right after these.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
At quarterback, we were thinking Aiden O'Connell of the Raiders. Scored the go-ahead touchdown after throwing a long pass. So they went the length of the field, no timeouts to defeat the Houston Texans. But who cares? Nobody cares about that. Cowboys in action tomorrow out in Arizona. That's a late game on the NFL Network tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tonight, Jets at the Steelers at 6 o'clock. Okay, Klubnik.
Will Carson Beck play a lot?
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
I don't know his injury status. Need to look that up because he had the rib injury.
Yeah. I just wonder how much they'll risk that. On one hand, it looks like they may have their starter, but they don't know for sure.
Well, they've got Jacoby Brissett out there. So Jacoby just signed a big deal. Jacoby is going to be the starter, I believe. Chipotle. But Jacoby Brissett was paid a big chunk of change. But
do they trade Carson Beck?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But then, get your socks off the table.
I have nowhere to go, man.
Please, sonny boy. And you're wearing a black shirt. What is the deal here?
I knew you were going to. All I have is black stuff.
Really?
Seriously, all my workout stuff is black.
Don't you know your body temperature, my friend, will go from about 7 degrees, 10 degrees immediately?
I know. I don't own anything that's not black.
Tell you what, I'll go get you. Go get to the,
what do you give me, a white?
The prize credenza and get you a white.
Oh, beautiful. Those are great in the heat.
KLBJAM shirt.
T-shirts here weigh 12 pounds.
Here, I get you one of those shirts.
From 1982.
I love Trump. You wear that tonight at work.
Yeah.
You do that. See how long that lasts. Could you reverse that shirt? No political ads.
No politics on the sideline.
No political ads. No political ads. But, no, Jacoby Brissett is the guy.
So Gardner Minshew's going to start. Jacoby Brissett.
That's exciting.
They said he's not going to play at all. And Carson Beck was day-to-day on Wednesday. He practiced Thursday. Okay. And so we'll see if he plays tonight.
This is a big outing for Gardner Minshew because when Carson Beck had the first, it's big. Yeah, I think
what
it
do you
is.
Mean it's big.
It's big to see who's going to
be
the backup.
Is he
going to
be playing for Texas Tech next?
Jacoby Carson.
No, Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew's played for everybody else.
No. Start finding random players.
Yeah. But no, I think it's big for him.
In what way?
Because Carson Beck had a really good outing, his first outing, and we were all impressed with Carson Beck.
Right. Do you want to bet on whether Gardner Minshew is going to start a single game this year?
No, I'm talking about he could. If Jacoby gets hurt, it's important who the backup's going to be. Okay, that's all I'm getting at.
Man. I got him going to Texas Tech before August is over.
Who's that the beard that's played for everybody? This commentator. What's
Fitzpatrick.
His? Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick. Not Matt Fitzpatrick.
Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
For Texas Tech against Houston.
I've always wanted to come to Lubbock. I've never been here before. But Mr. Campbell's given me $8 million, and I've got Raider power.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Good Lord, what a mess. But I'm liking this Cade Klubnik to Texas Tech deal.
Like it, huh? I'll start that.
Like Chad Powers is going to Tech.
Let's see what Ryan has to say about all this.
Get you caught up on some news now. A suspected vandal facing charges after allegedly leaving Beavis and Butthead graffiti all over Detroit. My goodness.
Oh, he's laughing.
I was not... Brian Heron calls himself Beavis, spelled B-V-I-S. I'm so sorry.
Who doesn't call themselves Beavis?
He left his mark on.
All right, back with more 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Okay, back on this a Friday afternoon. Longhorns will scrimmage in the morning at DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium, their second big scrimmage of the year. Last scrimmage, did not see much, and nobody saw it. It was closed, except friends and maybe former players like Jeff were invited. But did not see a heck of a whole lot of Arch Manning and Cam Coleman and some of the guys they played, but was sort of sporadic. So we shall see what we shall see tomorrow. We won't see. We'll just hear from Coach Steve Sarkisian a little later in the morning with a Zoom after the scrimmage. as they get closer to the start of the season against Texas State. And then the big game looming is Ohio State. So we will just see about that.
So the your cardiologist probably tells you not to drink energy drinks?
Not specifically, but I try to avoid them. Yeah, I don't. Especially don't mix vodka and Gatorade like I used to in my youth.
Mm.
The old water moccasin drink, Brownwood Country Club.
Wait.
Vodka and Gatorade. Oh, boy, it sets you free. Woo!
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people drink vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah, I drink, well,
Gatorade?
Saturdays. Yeah. I have lemonade and vodka at Dirty Martin's on Saturday during the radio show.
Okay.
Tastes so good. They've got the homemade lemonade with Tito's in there.
You ever had a Monster Energy drink?
No, I have not.
Kyle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My name is Kyle. Do you not know about this? The Monster and Kyle thing? Okay. Well, whatever.
Well, no, I missed this work gossip.
No, it's not. No, it's like a thing. Kyles are like notorious for punching holes in walls and
really?
And drinking Monster. Yeah. It's like a meme that.
Okay,
it's been around for probably like 20
years. So it's like you're the crazy drunk version of Chad.
Sure.
Okay, Karen. Kind of, it's like a spinoff, like Karen. So Kyle is now
he punches the Kyle's punch through walls and drink Monster Energy.
Hmm.
That's like the thing.
The official drink of the
Big 12.
The Big 12 conference.
Well, the cardiologists have said please don't do that. They've asked the Big 12 to give up the sponsorship.
No, would you repeat that?
Yeah, sure.
Who asked who?
The medical community is asking the Big 12 to not follow through with its Monster Energy drink.
Oh, the
drink
medical
sponsors.
Energy. Okay, the medical industry. I understand. Is that Bobby Kennedy led? Or?
No, not yet. I mean, he's working on other important things. But, yeah, it's outlawed in the UK and Norway and Quebec for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And wacky Canadians get on that monster.
16 and under or 18 and under.
Really?
Of course not here, but yeah. And so
can I ask you, a question? This may be a dumb question, but Kyle, you can address this.
Well, since Kyle apparently is synonymous
Kyle.
With Monster Energy
what
drinks.
What does it do? Does it jack you up like crazy? What does it do?
It's just caffeine. It's like having a cup of coffee. Just
I think it's coffee 10X.
Well, yeah. It's, yeah. And a lot of them have a ton of sugar in them. Most of them.
Mm-hmm. It's liquid crack.
Yeah, yeah.
You get addicted to it?
Yes, just like you would coffee.
Mm. I like coffee, 2 cups in the morning.
Now, this would, your cardiologist, you would be seeing your cardiologist pretty quickly.
My electrocardiologist or my regular cardiologist?
All the above.
All
I'm
the
afraid.
Above.
Yeah. They have a team meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a running joke for people my age that. Like, we're all going to die of a heart attack one day because of the amount of energy drinks we
Thus,
drink.
Thus, yeah. The medical community has asked the Big 12 to, it says, youth facing activation of the sponsorship, including branding on uniforms. You know, the Monster Energy on all the uniforms.
Right. It's an ugly, well, ugly deal. It's going to be on all the uniforms.
Well, let's
yeah.
not get sued.
I think it's ugly, Jeff. And I'll say that to the Monster Energy faces. You've got an ugly logo. It's an ugly-ass logo.
It wants a commission, independent health review, including pediatrics and cardiovascular medicine.
Mm-hmm.
They've asked to bring the matter to the Big 12 board about the branding, and they've asked them to rescind the sponsorship, of which the Big 12 shockingly has not responded. And I bet they won't.
No, Brett Yormack's not going to call them back.
They need the money.
We've got our deal.
They would put a syringe on their jersey if they paid for enough.
Oh, Jeff. Put a syringe
in an arm, a vein. Anything for money.
Yeah.
I've never had one, but I do know it's a thing. Well, Kyle's popping one right now. Nice.
What is that? It's sparkling water.
Why
coconut
do you,
water from AGB.
Where did the Kyle... I mean, Is there a history of Kyle and the violence?
There's a guy named Trevor Wallace. He's a YouTuber.
Okay.
And basically, like, I don't know, it's one of those, it's like a typical, like, Brad or Chad or Kyle.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's Kyle is the one that punches holes through walls and smashes monsters on their heads.
Okay.
Whatever.
I mean, I don't even know how. I mean, we know what Karen is now, but I don't know how it started. But it started and it's succeeded. And then we went to Chad. Who else? I didn't know this Kyle thing. We have Karen and Chad.
That's
okay.
A Kyle.
That's a Kyle. Okay. Yeah, you're shotgunning beers.
I'm not going to play the video because.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but that's. Wow. He's shotgunning a monster.
Oh, okay.
So it's just.
All right. So you guys are into WWE and tractor pulls?
Sure.
And, okay.
Sure.
Great. Did not know that. Not sure it's a great idea for you to tell us all to start thinking that, but we now do.
Well, I'm surprised because they've banned cigs, smoking, gambling, and alcohol on patches. You can't have a Tito's patch
but
on.
But they can sell it everywhere.
They can sell it everywhere else. Yeah, in the stands and on the sides of the stadium, but not on the uniform.
Sam Houston has a, I don't know if they're a gambling site necessarily, but they... Their patch is a website or social media platform that promotes gambling and gambling on.
I thought they could do that. It's Sam Houston?
It's well, called Snapback
to,
Sports.
They're close to prison.
In Huntsville?
If it gets out of control, you got a place to go. What do you think? How else are they going to make a buck?
Well, I know, but I thought that was
way,
a hard and fast rule.
By the way, what is the logic behind sponsoring them?
Sam Houston?
Yeah, what's my reach?
Well... When they go to Nacogdoches to play Stephen F. Austin,
yeah.
Big things happen. When they're in the Piney Woods, I know, it would be more of a
what's
local
that,
deal.
What's that worth?
Mm.
Not a lot, probably.
Yeah.
The guy's a local guy. He went to UT. He
That started the
it's
Kyle?
Called no, Snapback Sports that Sam Houston has. It's
oh,
actually,
I see.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool company.
Okay, well, they need money where they can get it. Good for them, I guess.
By the way, I'm getting closer to winning my bet. There's no, they haven't announced any type of sponsor on the uniform yet.
You said ever. No,
okay.
I, Kyle.
Well, I'm getting closer
he's
every
making
day.
Up, he's making up lies.
I'm getting closer every day.
You're getting
day.
Closer to ever every day.
Day. Every
I
day.
See. You
every
said
day.
You said that will never happen, and I said, yes, it will.
Never happen.
Okay. We have a bet. You've made it till Friday.
Well, what's going to happen? Pizza boy and one of my sons or one of my grandkids. Well, remember when your granddad made that?
That's right.
Bet? You
That's
owe
right.
me a bottle of wine.
That's right. My youngest is going to call up your son and say, hey, look, you owe my dad a bottle of wine. I'm coming by.
And where's your dad live now, kid? He lives at the rest home in Westlake for all Westlake football players, the Longhorn
he
football
He did say,
players.
Right, Kyle, shotgunning monsters? That Texas would never have a patch on their jersey.
Correct.
Yeah.
It said ever.
Okay, I'll say they won't have one this year.
Well, I don't think they'll have one this year either. They don't have time.
So you're coming to my, oh, they don't have time. They've got a stack as big as a phone book of potential people wanting to put their patch on there. Give me a break. Give me a break.
They will have a patch on their jersey.
No, they won't.
Yeah. Okay. I look forward to the bottle. Hopefully I can drink it.
But not today.
Not sneak around in the woods.
Yeah.
Park my car in an alley.
Where'd he go? Where is he?
To pour myself a plastic cup.
You don't want to do that in front of the kids of America.
I'm not doing that. I've said multiple times. I'm not doing that. But the days are long. It's tedious work.
What other gems do you have there in
well,
your
no,
big
I,
stack?
I just, yeah, I have 62 pages. And... I found the story. I did read this. It's too depressing, and I don't know if anyone else is going to care. The headline is, sales are so low, California wineries are burning their vineyards.
We talked about that recently. You have this new gleam in this story. That's very, very sad.
Yeah. I mean, it takes the story from the first-person account of a lot of local family-owned wineries, and if they're not burning their own vineyard, they're selling to the giants. Because consumption is at an all-time low. I mean, you name it, everything from tariffs to demand. I mean, it's just a perfect storm of an awful business. Nationwide wine sales are at their lowest level in two decades.
Jeez.
So sales have also suffered. Many younger drinkers have found traditional wines stodgy and difficult to understand. And prefer canned cocktails, seltzers, and non-alcoholic beers and spirits. See, I don't know that I buy that it's the young people's fault, because young people have never been wine drinkers.
No, not really.
I think this is a much more macro problem that's killing them.
GLPs. I'm on a GLP, and my thirst for alcohol is waning, because I would be with you. I'd be sweating on Friday wanting that first glass of wine, but I don't care anymore. I had a couple of margaritas this week.
Is that just you, or does everyone on GLPs lose that taste?
I found a lot of people on GLPs
It blocks the receptors for cravings.
Okay. I did have two margaritas at a funeral this week.
I don't know how I've missed this.
You missed that. I was at a funeral.
Wow.
Yeah. Great funeral.
Hang on. I've got a thought.
Okay.
And maybe this has been addressed, and maybe Bobby Kennedy confused me. Are psychiatrists prescribing GLPs to alcoholics?
I don't know. I've not heard of that, but I've got a
wouldn't it make sense?
Well, I got a really good friend who's lost a tremendous amount of weight, and he used to be in he'd probably have a drink at lunch, but every day, he'd 5 o'clock, go happy hour, and drink the night away 4 nights a week, 5 nights a week. And now he very seldom drinks, and he's lost a lot of weight.
Because of these?
Because of the GLPs. And I've got
that would make some sense too, you know, with wine sales. Then.
See, I've got to learn about because last night, I'll give you an example. We had, you know, one of my daughter-in-law's over for dinner last night. I went and got barbecued last night. And when I was there, I served myself a big plate, and thinking that's what I used to do with brisket and ribs and, you know, some side dishes. And I went, I'm not this hungry. I can't eat this. So I ended up not eating. I had a piece of brisket and a rib and some beans. That was it. And and that's the same with alcohol. I don't need, because, you know, back in the old days, I would drink a bottle of wine every Friday night.
Sure.
By myself.
Sure.
Bottle of wine. Yeah. And then I'd message you.
Yeah, you would. I would get the random. What are you on now while you message me?
I'm on life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
GOP.
So the messages now are much perkier. They were kind of dark and twisted.
They're kind of tame.
Well, yeah.
And I don't have a lot of misspelled words anymore.
Yeah. And he didn't ask about...
What you doing, Jeff?
What is she doing? What's she wearing?
Never did that. Do that. I want to get your feeling about another story.
Huh.
That we talked
about. That's a very good point about the wine and the GLPs. It's not included in the story is one of the problems, but it makes perfect sense.
But you've seen when we've had our wine here, we don't, we'd fight over the bottle, not anymore. Even though you're a greedy bastard when it comes to pouring the wine.
For good reason.
Yeah. Another story I want you back. This New York Times story, the ex-Alabama basketball player awarded $9.25 million in a defamation case against the New York Times. Remember a couple of years ago, members of the Alabama basketball team were at a nightclub in Tuscaloosa, and one player called another player and said, hey, bring my pistol down here.
Yep.
One player brought the pistol to his teammate. Teammate used said pistol in murdering a guy. And the New York Times in the story talked about a basketball player by the name of Kai Spears, who was a walk-on at Alabama, who's a white guy, who was in the car during this shooting. Well, come to find out, Kai Spears wasn't the white guy in the car. Kai was already home. He had been with his teammates, but he was already home. And it took the New York Times a long time to correct the story or apologize for the story. Kai Spears sues said New York Times, and he won a $9.25 million defamation lawsuit yesterday. And I take the approach where this guy's reputation is shot.
Is it? I mean,
yes,
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I mean, getting it wrong accidentally or whatever can't be an excuse here, because it's a pretty horrific story.
Oh, it's a terrible story about murder on a college campus.
Yeah. Never mind the coach went ahead and played the guy, even though the murder victim's daughter went public and saying, please don't do this, please don't do this.
They
went
there. Guy who went,
but that's no excuse for getting the wrong guy.
No.
And having, you know, it is Richard Jewell-like.
Exactly.
I mean, it is.
Poor Richard Jewell, yeah. That was a great movie, too, about him.
Which the bigger fault of Richard Jewell was the feds. They're the ones feeding his name to
the
media.
Story, yeah.
And now the media should have done a better job of vetting that it was Richard Jewell, but the feds are the ones who sold that guy out.
Spears began his college basketball career at Alabama as a walk-on,
transferred to Marshall in 2024, where he spent the last two seasons. He then transferred to Division II West Liberty this offseason, but it's followed him. It's sort of like the Paul Newman movie, Absence of Malice.
Fair.
Where do I get my reputation back? Because this is going to follow him the rest of life. There was $9.25 million. That seems like a tremendous amount of money.
What's his earning power?
Yeah.
I'm
not sure what his degree plan is at West Liberty College, but yeah.
He doesn't need it now.
But you got to get stuff like that.
I completely side with him on that. I have no problem with that. I mean, most of the times, I know people hear New York Times and they think, aha, Trump never wins those cases. This is a legitimate argument.
Sure it is. They really have
besmirched
him.
You can't get me wrong in a crime.
Right, in a crime scene. And they did do their due diligence. You need to get a couple of people say, yes, was that Kai? Yes, it was Kai. No, they got one anonymous source who said, yeah, Kai Spears was that big white guy in the car when all this went down. But he wasn't there. So
what did his buddy tell him they were going to do?
Well, I don't know.
Not that it matters. Not saying it does.
See, Kai was already home, but you're talking about the guy who said, hey, bring me my gun. Yeah, what did that guy think he was going to do?
You just go, what do you need? He didn't ask for some peanut butter.
Yeah.
He said, could you bring me my gun?
Yeah. So
and I think he pretty much alluded to he was going to kill someone. Yeah, hang on, buddy. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
He brought it down to the club, and the guy killed somebody.
Yeah, killed a woman.
And the guy that brought the gun still played for Alabama.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not only is that aiding and abetting, isn't that criminal negligence as well, since you knew about it?
I have no idea where, I guess he's not guilty, but he did face charges, and I think ultimately they dropped the charges.
I'd have to look it up.
Which I find that to be awfully generous by a local prosecutor.
Yeah.
What did you think your friend at the club who is mad was going to do with the gun?
With the gun. Just flash it around? I don't know what he was...
For those that don't remember the horrible story, ended up shooting a woman in the head on campus.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And her family came out and said it was a slap in the face that they played the player repeatedly who brought the gun.
Right.
In fact, a few days, remember the coach at Alabama, who is still there, can't remember his name now, remember he defended him in the news conferences and then gave him a high five in the very first game he appeared in after the story came out.
Yeah.
Like, at no point could the university president say, look, I don't like to tell your business, but I am here. Don't walk him out on the floor, please.
You're talking about Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Who's back in the news because Nate got remarried. Did you see that?
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. Nate and his wife broke up. And so Nate decided to marry his assistant. Yeah. Yeah.
His assistant?
Yeah. His Crystal. Yeah.
At a state school. Her name is Crystal?
Crystal. The assistant. They got married. Yeah.
Is Crystal above the age of 12?
She's about 20, I believe.
She looks like she's 12.
Yeah. And Nate has had three kids and a wife. Hold it. The original name was Crystal.
Is this a new name?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the original wife. They've been married. Were married 30 years before he took up with his other woman and married her, his assistant.
His assistant.
Yeah, his assistant. Female assistant. Secretary, whatever.
It's Alabama, so
yeah,
they wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. So I just wonder what you felt about that because I'm usually pro media on a lot
absolutely.
Of things, especially when Trump does it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I'm pro media.
But in this case,
I'm not pro media.
They got it wrong.
Yeah.
And a guy clearly was damaged. I don't know if he was damaged to $9 million, but I don't know that it matters. He was damaged. You can offer plenty of opinions. I know that. See, Trump wants to sue over opinions and thoughts.
Right.
But you say Ed commits this crime. Ed didn't. Ed has a case. I say I think he's a jackass. Ed has no case.
Right.
It would be liable if they knowingly went after him and said, Ed committed that crime. And I said, you knew I didn't. But in this case, their mistake was clearly defamation. I agree with him.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break.
$9 million.
$9.25 million. Nice payday for the youth. It goes a long way.
Pretty good work by
way.
The lawyer, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because New York Times doesn't buckle too often, and nor should they. You don't want media companies caving every time somebody threatens to sue them.
Let me tell you, the New York Times screwed up. Don't you think they, I'm sure they said, oh, I believe we need a change of venue on this. And yeah. they didn't get the change of venue yeah. from Dixie, you know.
Yeah.
Let's all recite the Confederate yeah. Creed
You're
before
right.
we're proceeding.
That might explain a jury why it's $9 million.
Yeah, 9.2. We'll get that New York Times. All right, back with more. You leaving? You got
to
leave? Okay.
Yeah, I got to.
We'll have a good time at your fourth job.
Yep. Got a Chevron shirt on.
Got the Chevron. Well, take. Let me advise you again.
I you're
the
right.
Black shirt off.
I don't have anything. Today, I'm running on Town Lake. I got a black hat, black shirt.
Hey, man.
Black socks. It's all I have, truthfully.
Listen, before
what
you
am
go
I supposed to
your,
wear?
Well, you go down. I'll tell you what you do right now. You go down to the Walmart over here around the corner. Tell my friends hello, and you say, I need white shirts or a light-colored shirt. They'll find you a yellow.
Nice, thick cotton.
They'll find you a yellow. They'll find you a white. They'll find you all sorts of things.
Have a Nike section over there?
Oh, they do. Yes, the Nike section. They got a lot of... Okay.
Does Dreamers have any lightweight material for shirts?
Oh, yeah, they do. Of course, you get all sorts of toys with it. You're asking me. You go there every day.
I've been there.
Yeah, right. All right, have a good night. All right, we're going to take a break. More on this Friday evening, 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. Check out the podcast page at 1027ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
All right, back on the show. Jeff took an early exit. I'm here with my buddy Kyle Owen. Kyle will be a vital part tomorrow night of Sports Saturday on our sister station, KLBJ. That's a show we do every Saturday from Dirty Martin's place on the UT campus on Guadalupe. We'll be there, gosh, the rest of the year and into January and February for all of football. Your place to come visit with us every Saturday, 5 to 7 on KLBJ and the 15th Club Golf Show and the End Zone Club Show, 5 to 7 on KLBJ. Now, PGA Tour is in the next to last tournament. They're playing at Belrive in St. Louis, famous golf course. And after two rounds, this is the top 50 players. They were at top 70. They cut it down to the top 50. And after this week, they'll cut it down for the top 30 for the finale of the PGA Tour season. Right now, Wyndham Clark is the leader. The play is complete. Wyndham Clark shot a 64. He's a former U.S. Open champion. Wyndham Clark is at minus 12. Clark is at minus 12. Gary Woodland is at minus 11. J.J. Spahn is at minus 10. Chris Kotterup is at 9. And Sun J.M. is at minus 9. Rory McIlroy is at minus 7, so he's 5 back. Scotty Scheffler righted the ship today after a first-round 72. He shot 65, but Scotty is 9 strokes off the pace. So it's going to be a big, 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 big hump for Scotty Scheffler to win this tournament. He won last week by 8 shots last week. So, again, the final two tournaments of the year. Really, Kyle, ugly story coming out that we learned about today about Austin golfer Sergio Garcia. Sergio Garcia left the PGA Tour a few years ago, and when LIV started and joined the LIV Tour for a big boatload of money. Sergio lives here in Austin with his wife Angela. They raise millions of dollars for charity in this town. I like Sergio Garcia. He's been very, very kind to me. He is controversial, though. Many people don't like him for his sometimes petulant attitude on the golf course. And now a really strange story started over in England. Now it's made its way over here. LIV Golf Tour. They're playing their final tournament of the year this year in Indianapolis. And that's it for LIV until next year. And there's speculation they'll be playing next year. They reportedly have someone investing a lot of money because the Saudis are getting out. This is a story. Once a powerful force in professional golf, LIV Golf now finds itself in perhaps its most uncertain position yet. in April 2026, Saudi Arabia's PIF, which financed the league's launch, pulled the plug on its funding on the breakaway tour, leaving LIV scrambling to find a secure financial lifeline for 2027. However, as LIV Indianapolis is unfolding today at the club at Chatham Hills, a new Financial Times report has revealed that Spanish star Sergio Garcia played a role in the PIF decision. This is the Saudis. They're the PIF. In April, as LIV golfers floundered at the Masters, golf's most prestigious tournament, Sergio Garcia damaged the Augusta National golf course during a fit of rage in the final round. People familiar with the matter say that Yasar Al-Ramunian, he was embarrassed that the sequence of events had helped lead to his decision to pull the plug on the PIF financing of the rival tour, as the fund focuses more on its huge domestic commitments in the kingdom. You'll remember that day, Kyle, on number two at Augusta National, Sergio hit a somewhat of a wayward drive. It was not, you know, out of the ballpark. It was just a bad drive. He took a chunk of turf on number two tee box, which is a huge no-no. You do that at Muni. You do that at your club. You're not supposed to, but at the Masters, it's a huge no-no. Took a big chunk of the turf. Then, with the driver, he hit a cooler and breaks his driver there. And it was instantly, in our time of social media, it was everywhere. And sadly, and I remember talking to guys in the world of golf, Mark Brooks and some other guys, when we saw this, I said, man, Sergio's going to have to fall on the sword after this round and apologize profusely. The guy's a former champion. Won Augusta in 2017. He goes to the champion's dinner. He can play there the rest of his life. He better really apologize out the wazoo. He didn't do it. Then he was very, you know, defensive about it. Well, everybody gets mad type deal. And it was really, I was disappointed in Sergio's actions that afternoon. He later did apologize more. But now they say that after that, PIF pulled its investment, following which this guy, the head of it, stepped down from his role. Here's another deal. This guy from Saudi Arabia who was head of Yasar Al-Ramunian, that's not how you pronounce his name, he wants to be a member of Augusta. He wanted to be a member of Augusta, mate. He's not going to be a member of Augusta. Let's just be honest. And he got so mad, apparently, according to this report in the Financial Times, that he said, that's enough. We're getting out of this situation. I hate that for Sergio, but that's the story. I don't think it's all Sergio. I don't believe that. I believe 98% of it is it's a bad product.
Yeah, it might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but I don't think, I mean, obviously, yeah, the viewership isn't there. You're spending a lot more money than you probably should on these guys that aren't even winning sometimes.
Right.
And so you're wasting away the money. There's nobody that comes to the events. It's just not what people want to see.
It is not what people want to see. You're exactly right. And here they canceled one of their final events. They canceled the champions, the final team championship, and this is the last week of it. I don't know how the attendance is going to be in Indy for this, but it's just suffered mightily. And it's not what people thought. You know, the Phil Mickelson was one of the leaders of it. Now Phil Mickelson has been virtually ostracized from the world of golf, and he hasn't participated, I think, all year long because he's had some family issues with some illness in his family. Then he had his much ballyhooed getting kicked out of a golf course out in California for apparently doing some type of physical encounter with an employee of a country club, and they asked him to leave. Tried to pay him off, and it's just an ugly deal. So Greg Norman's left. He was one of the main honchos. But these golfers, and I'm not going to besmirch Sergio or Dustin Johnson or any of these guys, they just took the money. And it's an unbelievable amount of money. I remember Harold Varner, an up-and-coming young African-American golfer, took the money. Because he said, this is generational changing money for me and the family, for my family and my kids' families. I can't turn this down. So the names in golf that I like to watch play, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson. I like Phil. I like to watch Phil play. Cam Smith from Australia. Really good. Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson's disappeared. You don't ever see Bubba Watson anymore because they're not relevant anymore. And it's very sad. You see DeChambeau playing in the majors badly. John Rahm's a guy that I think is realizing finally, this is killing my legacy, which it is killing John Rahm's legacy. So I think, I'm not so sure, and they say they've got financial backing. And what person is going to put up $200 million, $250 million for that losing ship?
Yeah, I don't think there's really anybody in the world, unless it's another Saudi that wants to try to revitalize it again or whatever they want to do. But
I think they've been burned. I think they have definitely just been burned, and they're not going back. They're not going back.
No.
In today's the tournament, this is the leaderboard. Somebody from Canada. This is the Live Tour leader. Somebody from Canada. Richard Lee is a Canadian professional who plays on the Asian Tour and the Live Golf Tour. I've never heard of him. He's the leader, followed by Cantor. What's his name? Lawrence Cantor, an English pro. You ever heard of him? No. Thomas Dietrich. I've heard of him. Thomas Dietrich's a player that played in at Illinois. But the bottom line is this. It's a failed experiment. And these guys need to come back. Sergio shot 1-under par. He's at 7-under for the tournament. This is their second day. That's the situation with that. I just hate it for Sergio because, again, he has done so much for our town with charity work in different charity organizations, he and his wife Angela. But he is getting the blame for the demise of Liv, and I don't think that's fine. Okay, we're going to conclude the show by talking football. Coming up next, this is 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Three NFL games tonight. Two of the three would be great in December or January. Starting it off in about 9 minutes, it's going to be the Jets at the Steelers. Kyle, you tell me Geno Smith is going to start for the Jets. I would assume Drew Aller is going to start for the Steelers, possibly. Probably so, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is not going to play any. That's the first game. The second game kicks off at 6:30. The Carolina Panthers play at Jacksonville at 6:30. This would be a great game later in the year because both teams made the playoffs last year. That'd be a really, really good game. And then the last game of the night is a game that I would love to see in December, Green Bay at Denver. So it's going to be a preseason game, second preseason game, so you're not going to see that much. But, man, oh, man, how great would see Jordan Love and Bo Nix in December. That game kicks off at 8 o'clock. Houston Texans lost last night to the Raiders of Las Vegas. So what? The Raiders scored on a long drive, got a quarterback sneak at the end of the game in a game that I believe that, you know, Houston dominated most of the time.
I counted it out. I was at the gym last night and I looked up. It was like 26-3 or something like that. I was like, oh, this game is over. I looked up again and it was flipped score at the very end of it.
I flipped it over, back over from watching something at like the minute 30 mark, and the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell were scrimmaging from their own 5-yard line, and they had no timeouts. And then I checked ESPN later, and they won the game. You know, but again, it's a big, big so what. On the Jets Steelers.
So note on the Steelers, it's not going to be Drew. It's not going to be Drew Aller. It's going to be Will Howard, and then Aller will come after that. And then Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph are both not going to play.
Okay. It's funny now the Steelers have a kind of a funny quarterback situation now because Aaron Rodgers is the guy. Drew Aller looked very good last week. I'm a big Will Howard fan. I was a big Will Howard fan when he was at K-State and then at Ohio State. And Mason Rudolph is sort of a fill-in deal, Duck Dynasty guy.
Yeah, I wonder if they're, you know, they're going to try to try to keep a fourth guy around so that when next year Aaron Rodgers retires, they have a three full quarterback room. But, I mean, if you're going to try to put somebody on the practice squad, they may try to go somewhere else.
I think next year the Steelers are going to go try to finagle something in the draft because it's going to be a quarterback-heavy draft next year with C.J. Carr, Dante Moore, Arch.
Did they go back-to-back?
Shambliss.
This is back-to-back years just drafting a quarterback, though.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they would do it again.
I don't know. I don't know. But then again, maybe they don't want to if Drew Aller is going to look like that.
It really just depends on what they see throughout the season and going to the next one.
So Geno's going to start for the Jets, not Cade Klubnik.
Correct. Geno's going to start.
Yeah, Geno's going to start. We talked about Cade Klubnik because of this situation with fifth-year seniors. This is so confusing to me. A Colorado judge took the side of the NCAA saying, no, you can't do that. You can't welcome back fifth-year seniors. But here on the Texas Longhorns, among many teams, you've got Cole Hudson, who was at a camp, NFL camp, who's back with the Longhorns because this ruling doesn't affect him. Well, today, a Kentucky judge granted a temporary injunction in an eligibility lawsuit that included former Florida State quarterback Tommy Castellanos. Remember him? Yep. He has entered the NCAA transfer portal. He played for Florida State last year, and he has been given another year of eligibility. This guy's, he started with UCF, Central Florida. Then he transferred to Boston College, and then he played his senior season at Florida State. He completed 53% of his passes last year, 2,700 yards, 15 touchdowns. It was his only season with the Seminoles, and which is another down year for Florida State. But he led his team to an upset of Alabama. This kid has street cred, and he's in the free agent portal. And this story from CBS Sports, Kyle, you're not going to believe, says, where will Castellanos land? Texas Tech has emerged as the most likely landing spot for Castellanos as he looks to continue his college career, according to multiple reports. Given how the quarterback situation has evolved in Lubbock throughout the offseason, landing with the Red Raiders makes plenty of sense for Castellanos.
And poor Will Hammond.
Oh, yeah. Poor Will Hammond of Hutto coming back from the injury. But they're looking because we don't know how Will Hammond's going to do. I think the hope is high. And he's got a lot of support in Central Texas because he played well in the little time he played before his injury. But they got really young quarterbacks after Will.
They're all freshmen, right?
Yeah. So it makes sense. And do they have the money?
You could probably redshirt Will Hammond.
Could.
If you get Castellanos on the if Will even wants to stay after getting snubbed twice.
Oh, I know. He got snubbed by the Sorsby deal.
Yeah.
But, I don't blame Joy and Tech for doing that because he's coming back from the ACL. And sometimes they turn out really, really well, and sometimes they do not.
Yep.
So
you didn't want to have to gamble with that and two other freshmen behind
him. And they have huge investments, but I'm sure Cody Campbell and the power, he's the power there meeting with Joy and probably the AD Colby Holcott, and just saying, let's go get this guy. How much is it going to take? And Cody says, we got the money.
Yeah.
If he's got the time, I think it would be a tremendous get. With all due respect to Will Hammond, I really do. I feel for the guy, but if Tech is serious and they're damn serious about winning, they will go get Tommy Castellanos.
Yeah, that is a very interesting situation. I never really – I mean, I guess we talked about it with the Cade Klubnik situation.
Yeah.
But I forgot about this Castellanos thing, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know if he was that great necessarily
at Florida
State.
He was very, very good,
I mean, hey, if you put the right pieces around him, I'm sure he's going to play well.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow on Sports Saturday on our sister station, KLBJ Radio, 5 to 7. 15th Club Golf Show, then football with the End Zone Club. See you tomorrow. See you next Monday on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.